about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Whosoever holds this hammer, if he be worthy, shall possess the power of.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, ladies. My name is Stuart. With me, my best mate, Wade.
Right there. Hi, Wayne.
Wade.
Wayne, yeah. Yeah, as in Roe versus Wade. It's a famous case about a woman's right to term.
They know what it is. No need to bring up abortion. Do we need to?
My wife just asked for a separation after 11 years.
It's getting a bit gloomy again straight away. Maybe head to the bar.
Yeah. No, that's
please,
okay. Ladies,
it's our pleasure. Get to the bar, sir.
And now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Oops.
he was saying goodbye.
Our feature presentation.
In my defense, he was saying goodbye.
You think he was saying goodbye. You don't know, man.
Well, I do. That's the difference.
I just feel like that moment isn't remembered often enough that we had Paul McCartney, a freaking Beatle, on the show. And Kevin was in such a hurry to play a sit and sleep commercial that he couldn't wait to slam down the phone on him.
Well, what are you going to do?
What are you going
to
do?
We got things to do. Life's for the living.
Yeah, we're busy. That's us. We're sure packed.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 18th of November.
It is indeed, and we do have a pretty good Kevin and Bean Show planned for you today. A couple of great guests we'll tell you about in a moment. First, though, this is the story everybody was talking about yesterday. I think it's worth some discussion here at the top of the show, especially if you are a single man and you're doing the best you can to find yourself a lady. Kevin, I think you can probably see where this is going. You're working hard. You keep yourself up. And you're out there and you're a nice guy and you just want somebody to take care of and share your life.
And you're working it. You're doing what you can.
You really are. And you're clean and you're smart and you're educated and you're industrious and you're hardworking and you're polite. And when somebody holds a door open for you at a 7-Eleven, you say thank you. I mean, you're that kind of guy trying to find a woman. And it's just not happening for you. And you're 20, and then you're 25, and now you're 30. And you're like, what am I doing wrong? I'm really trying. Well, here's the news out of Corcoran, California yesterday. Mass murderer Charles Manson filed for a marriage license to marry his 26-year-old girlfriend yesterday.
Charles Manson.
She's pretty attractive. I don't know if you saw pictures of the young lady. But
she
didn't. She doesn't look crazy.
Is she attractive for a girl that would marry Charlie Manson?
No, she's attractive.
Really?
She's just straight up attractive. She's 26 years old. Her name is Afton, is her first name. Afton Elaine Burton. She goes by the nickname of Star. She says she loves the man convicted in the notorious murders of 7 people, including pregnant actress Sharon Tate. Now, Charles Manson's a guy who ran a cult back in the 60s and instructed a bunch of his followers to go out and kill people, and they did, and he's been in jail ever since. No wedding date has been set, but a wedding coordinator has been assigned by the prison to handle the nuptials, and the couple has until early February to get married before they would have to reapply. Apparently, they got their license issued. She, by the way, lives in Corcoran near the prison and maintains several websites advocating Charles Manson's innocence. She says it's not true what they accuse him of.
Which is how long has he been in jail?
He's been in jail since like 1970.
Right. So how does a 26-year-old know anything about his case?
Well, every once in a while you'll see a journalist that'll go back and reopen a case from the past. But this young lady, I mean, she grew up hearing about the case and something must have intrigued her enough to essentially dedicate her life to overturning that conviction. No word on what she thinks is this new evidence. And Charles Manson, by the way, has had other people who have worked on his behalf over the years. He's been up for parole a dozen times or something like that, and they never let him out. He says, I'm with him. I love him. There's all kinds of things. In case you're wondering, by the way, because he is a life prisoner with no parole, he is not entitled to family visits or conjugal visits.
Ah.
They call them family visits. Of course, she can visit him in the room, you know, with other people and stuff, but they can't have the conjugal visits. Because that's the first thing you think is when a prisoner is getting married, you think, oh, he wants to have sex.
Yeah, right. And she is pretty hot for him.
She's very attractive.
I guess
yeah.
anyone's attractive for him.
She says, by the way, that she's interested in working on his case, and if she marries him, it allows her to get information not available to non-relatives. There are certain things that next of kin can do, she says, without elaborating. I don't know that there's a lot of information out there that hasn't been already pretty much picked over.
Yeah, they have combed through all of this evidence.
This was the O.J. Simpson case of its time. It got a lot of attention and had a lot of eyes on it, a lot of people working on it.
That bitch is crazy.
She is a little bit crazy. So, I mean, 9 years she's been living there in Corcoran, and I guess her perseverance paid off because Chuck finally popped the question. Looks like they're going to have themselves a wedding.
I'll bet it was romantic.
I bet it was, too. Not only is he a convicted mass murderer and 80 and in prison for life, okay? He also has a swastika carved into his forehead.
Yeah, there's that.
So for our 30-year-old Kevin Amin Lister, who's just out there trying to get a second date, I don't know what to tell you, man. I apologize that this news happened, but that's what's going on in the world.
Can you imagine if her parents are still alive and she went to her parents and said, good news, bad news.
I found someone.
I'm getting married. How exciting. Bad news, Charles Manson.
Charles Manson.
That would be horrific.
I mean, there's almost, literally no one worse you could come to them with and say you're getting married. I mean, isn't he, for many people, just the definition of the craziest, most evil person alive today?
Yeah.
How could you do worse? Beer mug, maybe. I guess that'd be worse. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. The family can't – I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of people sitting on the bride's side when this wedding happens.
Or the grooms. I mean, probably just
the grooms. Yeah. How many friends can he have at this point?
So you're doing that to cheer people up? That's the story?
Well, I'm just saying you had to hear about it from someone. I was just trying to ease into the story. It's not your fault, guys.
All right. Well, it could be. Let's not jump to any conclusions. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If what I think is happening, it better not be.
Trying to follow that, but I'm not exactly sure what that was. King of Mexico hates Thanksgiving. That's odd.
I don't know anybody. I mean, I can understand hating to host Thanksgiving. You don't want to be the person who has to cook all that and clean up all that. But I can't understand somebody who would hate being a guest at Thanksgiving.
He's one.
Okay.
He's the one.
Wait,
that
did
also
he hate Halloween,
he
too?
He hated Halloween as well, yeah.
Boy, is he a Grinch.
He is really a downer. We have Chelsea Peretti in the studio with us from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
She's great.
She's fantastic in that
show.
So
funny.
We have one of the weirdest, I would say the weirdest video since The Fox. Would you say that's accurate, Bean?
I mean, it's certainly in that vein. That's for sure. It's equally crazy.
It is insane, and we will introduce that to you today. We have Tears for Fears in the studio. How about that?
Boy, they still sound great, too. I don't know if you saw them on the Jimmy Kimmel Show the other day.
I did not.
They sound as good as they did 30 years ago.
That's crazy to me.
It is.
That's crazy. So we have them in studio. We're going to talk about their career and everything that's going on. And we have, speaking of, the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We have your tickets coming up as well this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. Local H.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Local you H. asked for it. You got it.
By request.
I was thinking about how much I like that band as we were listening to that song. I'm a little over that that particular number, but I have several of their records. They're really a good band, but I don't know why, for whatever reason, they never broke through with more than just that one song.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, keep on listening for your chances to win your way into the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. They are only a couple of weeks away on Saturday, December the 13th and Sunday, December 14th. What's that, about three weeks away, something like that? Getting pretty close, less than a month.
Yeah, less than a month. Let's go
A month. Give you a chance to win coming up. Rob is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning.
It's new release day. Tuesday is the new release day.
Yay!
Is that our new theme song?
Our new theme song.
I like
Tuesdays,
it.
Yes. Here's what you can pick up for your entertainment dollar if you're so inclined. New CDs. No Fixed Address by Nickelback.
Yes!
Nickelback is back, Nickel.
Now, I don't have to get that one today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you do.
You will, because they're putting it out, and that's your
criteria. That's right, and you own everything that is manufactured.
I draw a line just above Nickelback.
Wow. How about Four by One Direction, the new One Direction CD? I might check that one out.
I might, I might check that
yep.
one.
Yep, I knew it.
I knew it. Seeds by TV on the Radio.
Totally. Absolutely. That's
Totes You totes going to get that?
Totes, yeah.
Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 by various artists.
Great reviews of that, by the way. Some people are already calling it the best soundtrack of the year.
Curated by Lorde, of course. Lorde's on there, along with Kanye West, Major Lazer, Tuvaloo, and others. Here's what's available on DVD today, 22 Jump Street, with Channing Tatum and that guy.
Jonah Hill.
That him, yeah. If I Stay, with Chloe Grace Moretz. Frank Miller's Sin City sequel, Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis and everybody else.
That was only in theaters for one weekend, if I recall correctly, wasn't it, Rob?
Not a big hit. And Into the Storm, also available, so... check that out. Don't forget also the Batman TV series now on DVD. You can check that out everywhere. Get a good deal over there on Amazon if you want that Blu-ray box set.
Not to hurt your feelings, but you may be more excited about that than
well, maybe
other
you should
people.
Look at the sales numbers, Kevin, before you start to make accusations.
Why are you talking to me like that?
Because you are not a bright person.
I have to tell me if I'm wrong here, Ralph. Because Batman is your area. It's the most requested item that has previously not been on DVD in a long, long, long time, right?
It is by far the most requested television series in the history of television to be put on DVD, yes. And that's largely because it was not put on when most other things were. But it was the number one at every list and every one of these home entertainment websites.
Never came out on VHS, never came out on DVD.
Never available in any format, right, so... it has been much anticipated, and sales are through the roof.
Which
but
is what I meant.
I did not know that people wanted it as much as you do.
Kevin, I'm going to get you that along with your Arizona Cardinals ugly NFL sweater for Christmas.
It's
ugly
sweater
get you both
time.
Now.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Christmas, how about that Kristen Bell, huh?
Yeah.
She has teamed up with the a cappella group Straight No Chaser for a new Christmas song. Thank goodness Christmas music is coming out before Thanksgiving, because it really, that's when I need it. No, wait a minute. It is it's a little spoof on how impersonal we've all gotten with our technology. We don't spend any time together anymore. It's a little ditty called Text Me Merry Christmas. Here's a little taste.
A little social commentary.
Yeah.
A Facebook message isn't quite as sweet. I need more from you than just a tweet.
A snap on Snapchat doesn't last. And voicemail, that's from Christmas past.
Text me Merry Christmas. Send a selfie too.
If you do, I'll go meet the mistletoe.
And pretend my screen is you.
See? She's just America's sweetheart.
She's adorable.
That's pretty well done.
It is very well done.
Sounds
catchy,
good.
And she's a great singer, of course.
Well, we learned, especially from Frozen, she knows how to carry a tune.
She can do that. And we learned from an actress named Joan Tarshis that Bill Cosby is a little rapey.
Oh, not more.
Yeah, as another accuser has emerged, Joan appeared on CNN and claimed that Cosby had first sexually assaulted her after a taping of an episode of his sitcom back in the 80s. She claimed that Cosby drugged her at his bungalow, and then forced her to have oral sex. She said she didn't tell anyone at the time because everyone idolized Cosby, because even her own mother didn't believe her.
Oh, that's unbelievable that kids can go to parents and they just go, nah.
She's the second person recently to accuse Cosby. The first woman, Barbara Bowman, discussed her victimization in an op-ed piece in the Washington Post. Cosby has yet to respond to the accusations. Although apparently on a recent NPR interview, he did shake his head. So he's got that going for
Shook
him.
His head, no?
He's got a very vehement head shake.
But that could mean I'm not going to answer as well.
That's absolutely what it could mean, yes. Mm. It could also mean I'm out of Jell-O pudding pops.
Yeah?
That's true. Here's a dilemma for NBC. They have a new Bill Cosby sitcom in the works.
Oh.
That's not going to happen.
Oh.
They're saying it probably won't. Variety did a story on it yesterday saying that there's no, obviously, legal ramifications. I mean, he's not being charged with anything, at least not yet. But if you're in the television business, do you want to go on television and leave yourself open to this being the focus of your new sitcom?
Especially when you're already NBC.
Probably not.
Yeah, the people would try to. People would boycott the network if they were to do that.
Well, I don't know.
They may already be.
No one's boycotted State of Affairs, and well, that's on NBC.
That was just on one time though so far.
But
right?
That's much more offensive than anything Bill Cosby's ever done. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Damon Wayans Jr. from New Girl and Let's Be Cops, 32 years old today. Owen Wilson is 39. Chloe Sevigny is 40 years old. Actor Mike Epps turns 44. Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett. See what I did there?
Metallica. Sure. Metallica.
That's what Lars says, man.
Yep.
Metallica. 52 years old. Actor Kevin Nealon. Our buddy Kevin Nealon is 61. And actor Dennis Haskins.
Dennis Haskins.
Come on, you
the
can
president.
Do it.
Oh, the president in 24?
No.
Dennis Haskins. The president.
Dennis Haysbert.
Oh, Dennis. My bad. Sorry.
Oh. I don't know. Help me.
Mr. Belding.
Oh, my bad.
Principal of Bayside High. Saved by the Bell.
Wow.
Obviously.
Obviously.
My bad.
Oh, you're no Screech, man.
Open up a blog.
Open up a blog. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Come on, Ralph.
I just can't.
He's doing the Snoopy dance.
Kevin gave me the greatest birthday present I ever got.
You can't be dancing to that.
I can dance.
All right. First of all, let's all relax. Let's all take our time. Let's all enjoy this. This is a moment we've been waiting for 20 hours.
I want to open the package.
I know you do. I know you do. We got to ease into it. Oh. Kevin, how did this happen?
All right, here's what happened.
First, let me say before you get into the story, and then I will just shut up and relax and enjoy.
All right.
You may be the bravest man I've ever met. God bless you. A round of applause for Kevin Riley.
You know that fine line between brave and stupid, though.
You are going headlong into the fray with just your bayonet, and you're out of ammunition. And I say, God bless you. You will be remembered.
Kevin is the Nick Willenda of our show because he is walking across a tightrope between buildings in Chicago 800 feet up right now.
No net.
Without a net. Yep. That's what he's doing.
And not worried enough.
And no feet. most guys who would do that would have feet, but he's going out with just nubs.
What happened? You had no option to say no, obviously, right?
Oh, no, I absolutely had the option.
Oh, yeah. You still see it. All right,
that's a whole other set of questions.
King of Mexico sent me an email, or a text, I can't remember, and it said, Kurt Sutter would like you to host Anarchy Afterward, which is the Talking Dead after The Walking Dead, where you talk to him about the show.
No,
that just
it's the Talk Dead after Sons of Anarchy.
That's what I meant. I mean,
I'm
giving them an example of what the show is,
right.
Which is
right. So folks course, who don't know, after Sons of Anarchy, there's a little chat show called Anarchy Afterward, right?
Yes.
And Kurt Sutter is the creator of that show,
right? And he's been in several times.
Yes.
And Dave emailed me expecting me to say no, and my email back to him was, "I love that show."
Right.
Let's do it.
You love that show as a viewer. You love to watch that show.
Yeah.
Right.
And I love Kurt Sutter.
Right.
We've talked to him many times. Theo Rossi, a bunch of people from the cast.
No problems up to this point.
Okay.
So you should be a fan of the show. There's no reason not to be a fan of the show. That's not the problem.
Right.
Okay. So then they say he wants you to host Anarchy Afterward. And I said,
I only wish I could. That's what you said, right? I just wish I had the skill set that would allow me to be able to participate.
No, I didn't. You'd think that I would say
that's what you said.
That's what a kid who learns his lesson would have said that.
I am super honored, but I have too much respect for you, Mr. Sutter, to ruin Anarchy Afterward.
And your program to make what would be just a flaming train wreck of a television program. But thank you for asking is what you said.
So I said, awesome, I'm in.
Oh, Jesus.
Kevin makes bad decisions. Because I love that show.
I understand you love that show. But what in your bag of tricks, what in your quiver, what in your particular skill set leads you to believe that you're the guy to host and manage a live talk show on television?
Well, here's the thing about Anarchy Afterward is that Kurt Sutter first question I asked was, is Kurt Sutter going to be there?
Uh-huh.
The answer is yes. Okay, fantastic. Okay. So at least I know he's there. We've talked to him before. I love Kurt Sutter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Great guy. So I asked if he was going to be there. They said yes.
Right.
I said, all right, fine. Who else? Jimmy Smits is going to be there.
Great.
Okay.
Dre DiMatteo is going to be there.
Awesome.
And Theo Rossi is going to be there.
Great.
We just had him. Juice. And there's only three episodes left. In one of the greatest shows of all time.
You're not addressing our situation at all here. What I'm telling you, if you're not aware,
we all love the show. We all love the show, and those are all great actors and great guests.
But you are you. You know that, right? And there will be, you will have to talk at some point, I'm assuming.
Right, but not, it's not on my shoulders. All I have to do is say, hey, Kurt, tell us about the show. And then, boom, magic.
That's all you have to say.
I have to sing, too. I have to sing with the theme.
Look, let me put it another way, because Ralph's not getting true here.
No, I'm not.
If Dana White called me out of the blue and said, be
right into this world,
be on UFC 181,
all alone.
I would go, that's a real compliment. I'm
sorry,
honored
I can't hear you.
That you would request
it. On your own.
I can't hear you.
But I'm not getting in the octagon.
Because
I can't do that.
I can't hear you. Look, have you been watching this season?
Yes, I love Sons of Anarchy. Every episode. Yeah, of course.
Have you been listening to yourself at all during your career is more importantly the question. Has less to do with Sons of Anarchy, has more to do with you, I think.
Look, here's the thing, Kevin. You're a broadcast professional. You've been doing this for a long time, and you know, God bless you. But I feel like managing, as Ralph said, managing a live television show with three in-studio guests, plus a satellite guest, plus reading tweets, plus taking phone calls, plus getting in and out of commercial breaks.
Who better than me?
It just – that seems like an awful lot to put on your shoulders, dude. It just seems like – that's isn't that daunting to you? Aren't you more terrified than you are excited?
Well, I wasn't when I said yes. When I said yes, I was just super excited. Like, I get to be a tiny little sliver of a part of the after show for this great.
Did they put you on a clock and say you have to answer within a minute?
No, I answered in 5 seconds.
Did you have, like, some time to think for a second? This would be great, but not for me. This isn't for what I should be doing.
No, not even for a second. And then I emailed Dave, the King of Mexico, back, and he's like, dude, that's surprising. I was getting ready to pitch other people.
How about thanks for calling, Kurt. I'm not going to host, but I'd love to come down and be a guest and watch the show because I'm such a fan. How about that?
Didn't occur to me.
Because that would, you'd get everything that you're talking about without actually having to host.
But none of that was offered.
Right. But here's the thing. You could have said no.
Right. But why would I have?
Because you're not good at that. It's not what you do.
Ralph, I don't live my life in fear. I should, but I don't.
But you live your life in regret and embarrassment. Shouldn't that?
There's some of that.
Shouldn't that at some point factor? When you leave here after a 4-minute interview.
Yeah.
And out of those 4 minutes, 2 minutes, you F it up. When you leave here and you hang your head and say, wow, you know what? I really thought about that. And yesterday, I really felt sad. That one made me feel bad because I really effed that up. That's in a 4-minute live radio interview.
And that's with friends and family here, by the way. This is
a 45-minute television show.
I'm relatively sure I'm going to do pretty well.
What is wrong with you? I've seen you struggle hosting Total Request Video on KDOC.
Yeah,
Channel
but that
56.
Was before I became a professional.
No, it's the same level. It's exactly the same.
I didn't start doubting myself until last Friday when I went in and met with everybody from FX and everybody from the show, and they were saying, you're going to do this, and IFB, and you're going to have a satellite. And
right. The director's going to be talking in your ear and distracting you while other people are talking in front of you.
When that was going on.
You said then at that point.
After I had said yes.
I've made a huge mistake. I apologize.
I did worry that. Yes, that thought came
off.
Into my mind.
I'm begging off, you said.
And then I thought, you know what? No. I love this show. I love Kurt. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to nail it.
Wow.
Look, I know we're almost out of time here. I hope it goes great. I really do. I hope you have
a great
time.
You do.
I know I 100% do. Look, this is going to be the first exposure millions of people across the country have to the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't want you to embarrass us. I want it to go great.
More importantly, I don't want to embarrass the show.
But I hope that...
I mean, not this show. I mean Sons of Anarchy. Sorry.
I hope that there are a couple of great moments with that we can play forever. Though. Well, I want it to go great, but I hope there are a couple of moments that we'll love forever.
That's going to be a given. Have you ever hear him try to recite names at the Grammy Awards? Have you ever heard that segment?
We haven't enough time for that. Unfortunately, we don't have time for that.
This is going to be people with names and characters' names and questions about things and stuff. We'll have
and it's a very complicated show with a lot of moving parts, a lot of characters, a lot of plot lines to keep straight. Too, I have trouble as a viewer understanding what's going on in that show.
Talking to Jimmy Smits as Nero.
Uh-huh. Right. He's great.
Theo Rossi is Juice.
Right.
Kurt Sutter.
Uh-huh.
And somebody else that I can't remember right now.
Drea De Matteo.
Drea De Matteo, right. Maybe we should put...
I think you're ready.
Maybe we should bet on whose name I'm going to screw up. Because it's probably going to be hers.
There's that possibility.
I feel confident. I'm excited. I'm glad to be a part of it. I can't wait.
Wow.
Neither can we. Are we asking for folks who speak Mandarin? Is that okay? If you speak Mandarin Chinese, we need you to go to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and check out this video that we're going to talk about and give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. It's being called this year's Gangnam Style. It came out last month and already has 6.5 million views. And you know what I found out guys, that is fascinating about this?
What?
Is that this video is blocked in China. None of those views are from people in China, and the song is in Chinese.
Too many sexy chickens. Bean, it's obvious.
How do we explain this video? How do you...
It's an acid fever dream about barnyard animals.
That's about right, by the way. It's called Chick Chick by an artist whose name is what? Wang Roland Wrong.
I thought it was Wrong Wang.
Maybe it's Wrong Wang. Maybe I got that wrong.
Wrong Wang.
The unfortunately named Wrong Wang.
And there's a bunch of ladies who are dressed up in like chicken outfits, and there's a bunch of guys who are wearing their underwear, and they've got animal masks on, and it's mostly animated, and it's just like Rob said, it's a fever dream. It's like it's like you're on LSD when you're watching the thing.
Yes,
that's why it's so great.
It's the farm. It's the barnyard, and there's barking and cows and chickens, and it's magical, and it's all in Chinese, and it's weird, and I love it so much.
Sure, a little.
So far, so good.
The hot chick of the magic wand.
So far, this is on amp radio.
She brings out the cardboard barnyard, and then magic happens. Oh, yeah.
Pretty catchy. Yeah, we don't know what any of this means.
Where's Christine?
Something about a chicken.
Christine in here. Christine.
Christine,
American.
She was born in L.A., all right?
Yeah. Okay. She's got to know something. Christine, get in here.
I think her family is Korean, too. It has nothing to do with China.
Get on a microphone, Christine. What are these ladies saying?
This is offensive, Ralph. She doesn't
know. She doesn't know.
I don't know, but it's the closest thing we got is what I'm saying.
Well, it's hard to argue.
So, I don't know, but something about a chicken and
you're
a
not
rooster,
Chinese?
I'm totally half Chinese.
You're, there you go.
Oh, you are half Chinese. Okay, I thought you were coming from
Korea.
Why don't
you all pipe down?
I did not know
totally
that.
Totally half Chinese.
I did not know she was totally half Chinese.
How much Mandarin do you speak, Christine?
Zero.
But you've picked some up along the way.
Go back to your own country,
right?
Then.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. No
over
help
Thanksgiving
to you.
Dinner, there's not some Mandarin thrown about?
No.
Do you know the Mandarin word for chicken?
Chinese. I mean, Cantonese.
Cantonese.
So, but I don't speak it.
Is this Mandarin or is it Cantonese? Do you know?
I think this is Mandarin. I'm not sure.
I think so, too. We must have someone who speaks Mandarin who's listening to the show.
A word?
No, I don't recognize a word.
But this, how about this? That part. That's a chicken, right?
I do recognize that. That would be a chicken.
Thank you.
That is annoying.
And it's coming out of someone's mouth.
Francis writes down on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, I am Chinese, and I don't even know what the F is going on.
Wow.
Well, it's confusing and weird even if you understood the words. But
Sig writes in,
might help if you knew the words.
Yeah. I'm so tripping balls right now, high on NyQuil after watching this. Tim suggests it looks like a job for Doto, the international man of mystery. Maybe he's our translator.
He's Vietnamese, isn't he?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. It's very different.
views, guys.
Yeah, and not in China.
Translations starting to come in now on the Facebook
page. Are we good?
This is from Indelible LVC. It says, small chicken, rooster, rooster, is what one listener says. Mm. Lori writes in, according to my translator, little chicken, papa chicken, cluck, cluck, day. She says maybe it's an answer to what does the fox say. It certainly sounds like that. I don't know if there are any relations there. But so it's
remember how happy we were when the fox came out? And it just was so ridiculous. We just loved it so much. This is the new The Fox.
I think the lyrics do seem to be about chickens,
okay,
though,
but even so.
Little chicken, big chicken.
Cluck, well, chicken,
papa chicken.
Cluck, cluck, day.
Cluck, cluck, day.
Right, and does that help at all knowing that? No. It doesn't. This song is insane.
It gives a little more meaning and depth, Kevin. First heard, I thought it was a new auto dealership commercial by Beer Mug.
Thank you, Dick. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 6:52.
Oh, what an hour we have coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The legendary K-Rock band Tears for Fears is going to be joining us in studio. And if you want to see them at night number 2 of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas on Sunday, December 14th at the Forum, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to earn your way in, play a game with us after the top of the hour. Tears for Fears, that's the same night as Smashing Pumpkins, Imagine Dragons, U2, Weezer, and so much more. So call now and good luck. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
I am... Man, I just feel like so much I want to say about this.
Wow, what's wrong?
And we have so little time. This interview that Jaden and Willow Smith did with the New York Times, it's stunning. It's as if they did a scientific experiment. It said, if we gave teens all of the money and freedom in the world, would they be any goddamn use to anyone?
Yeah.
And the answer is no.
With no apparent parental involvement.
No guidance. No parameters set up around them. If you just had free-range kids, if you just put them in a field and left out bowls of food and water and just let them grow up, how would they turn out? And now we know. Now we've got the scientific proof of Jaden and Willow Smith. They are self-centered, egotistical, deluded douchebags.
We've done... bits around Jaden's tweets because they are just insane.
You gotta read the interview when you get a chance. Gotta read. They've got a new duet out, apparently. New album out. No, they both have separate albums out. My bad. I'm sorry. They had too much talent just to do one album together. So they did an interview with them. They both released new albums. And I'll just read you some of the highlights. We have very little time here, but what have you been reading? The interviewer asks Willow and Jaden. Willow responds, quantum physics.
And she's how old, Ralph?
14. She's 14 years old.
So she's being funny.
No. Quantum physics. Osho. Now, Osho, this is the guy who has that prana energy thing that they're in, this culty deal where they make resin paperweights and stuff that can stop the aliens from invading and things. Jaden, the ancient secret of the flower of life and ancient texts, things that can't be predated.
What?
He's reading things that are so ancient, Kevin.
And how old is he?
That they have they can't be dated. We'd have no idea how far back the wisdoms go, the things that he is reading. He's 16 years old.
He's the original hipster. He's into stuff we can't even begin to understand.
That's right, and never will. They asked Willow about time in her life, how she manages it. Here's her response. Time, for me, I can make it go slow or fast, however I please. That's how I know it doesn't exist. Okay, shut up.
Wow!
Shut up and buy a watch.
Doesn't...
Jaden says regarding time, it's proven that how time moves for you depends on where you are in the universe. It's relative to beings in other places. But on the level of being here on Earth, if you are aware in the moment, 1 second can last a year. And if you are aware, your whole childhood, your whole life can pass by in 6 seconds. But it's also such a thing that you can get lost in. Oh. 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 God.
How does no one hit them?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
And it goes on like that. What kind of books are you reading, Willow? This is what I do with novels. There's no novels that I like to read, so I write my own novels, and then I read them again, and it's the best thing.
Are we being punked?
Yeah, that's my question. Are they doing this on purpose?
No more books that interest her. She's no more books that she can read that will give her anything. So she has to write her own novels, and those are the ones she reads. She reads her own novels.
Are we being punked? Because I can't imagine that's
real. Get Kimmel on the phone.
Jaden, Willow's been writing her own novel since she was six, and I bet they were great.
Why would the New York Times publish this interview and not go, this is just little kids saying stupid things, it's not worth the time in the room in our paper?
Because they're Will Smith's kids. Probably.
Wow. Wow.
I agree with B. We got to get Kimmel on the phone. It's just got to
be Kimmel,
out,
right?
It really is.
But they've been this way for a long, long time.
Well, they're encouraged to be this way. Because they have no parental interview to sit them down and say, listen, I know, look, you're 14. I know this sounds great and everything. And it's fine. Enjoy yourself and everything. But keep in mind that you don't know anything.
Right. Have an active imagination and enjoy that. It's fun to dream.
Right.
Pretend, but it's not the real world.
Pretend you're a nuclear physicist or you're a space traveler or you have prana energy, whatever games you want to play. It's fine. But always keep in mind that you don't know anything. That's what a parent's job is, to slap you down and make you realize you're a dumb kid.
Crush your dreams.
That's right.
She knows that she can write novels, though, that she enjoys.
They don't believe in school, by the way. If ever two people needed school, it's these two. But they don't believe in it. Here's the deal, says Jaden. School is not authentic because it ends. It's not true. It's not real. Our learning will never end. The school that we go to every single morning, we will continue to go to, which is no school. School doesn't work, Jaden says, because you never learn anything in school. Think about how many car accidents happen every day. Driver's Ed, what's up? I still haven't been to Driver's Ed, because if everybody I know has been in an accident, I can't see how Driver's Ed is really helping them out.
Driver's Ed, what's up?
So because accidents exist, you should never learn how to drive safely, because accidents exist anyway. That's like saying, people die, so why do we have medicine?
Yeah.
Because you can take all the you can have all the operations in the world and you still die at the end, so why bother having any medicine?
You're not qualified to doubt Jaden Smith, Ralph. He knows what he's talking about, man.
I am going to burst into flames.
Oh, you.
I love it. I'm going to read the whole thing, frame
it,
put it on my wall.
We got to get Jaden and Willow on Anarchy afterward.
This is going to be my new religion.
Right?
Yes. Bean, what if we're wrong and Kevin's great and he gets his own series?
More power to him.
His own talk show.
More power to him.
What if he's the new Charlie Rose / Larry King?
First of all, we all know that's not going to happen.
/ Corky from Life Goes On.
There are people who late in life have career transformations.
That's right.
They just hit their stride. Something happens. It's the planets are aligned. And who knows? This could be the start of something big for Kevin. He may not come back to the show. He's so popular on TV.
That's what I'm thinking. This could be flowers for Algernon.
I'm just happy to be a part of the series. I'm not looking for a new gig. I don't fault
you. You may not have a choice. America may demand that you
they may demand it.
That you host your own talk show.
I'm sure they will.
By the way, Carson Daly is stopping by a little bit later on in his busy schedule. Let's get some tips from Carson Daly, because Carson is the best there is at getting in and out of breaks and getting in and out of interviews and hosting these things on television, right?
The Voice now is live. He hosts the live Voice every week.
And so let's get some tips from him today.
He does the New Year's Eve and all that stuff. He is the best.
He is the
He's
best.
Great at that.
Yes. Where would you rank me, Bean?
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't seen you do it.
Probably right up there with Carson.
Yeah, right now you guys are tied for first place. Let's find out after tonight.
It's like when you go to college. They say you start with an A in this class, and how you chip away at it by the end of the semester, that's up to you. So right now, Kevin, you have an A.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Dennis Haskins. He played Mr. Belding, the principal, on Saved by the Bell. Dennis is also in A Million Ways to Die in the West, the Seth MacFarlane movie that I did, the Western that we did this year. And I had a chance to hang out with Dennis, and he is just one of the sweetest, nicest guys you'd ever want to meet.
It's always good to hear.
Good guy, 64 years old today. Happy birthday, Dennis. Kevin Nealon is 61 years old. Kirk Hammett, guitarist for Metallica, is 52 years old. Mike Epps turns 44. Chloe Sevigny, 40 years old. Actor Owen Wilson is 39. And Damon Wayans Jr., very funny man, is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks to everyone who bought tickets last Friday for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. It is sold out. We are giving away some tickets for night number two right now with Alt-J and Imagine Dragons and Interpol, Smashing Pumpkins, Tears for Fears, who, by the way, are in the next room, will be joining us shortly. U2, Vance Joy, Weezer, Modest Mouse. How are we doing it this time around, Kevin?
We are doing it with the Wheel of Celebrities. So we have random celebrities. They will read the lyrics to a song. You have to tell us the band name and the song title.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
That explains why all those celebrities are out there standing in the hallway.
Confusing, right?
Yeah, I was wondering. I was like, what the heck's Al Pacino doing here? Well, he's going to read some lyrics, I guess, for our little radio game.
That's if correct. It lands on Al Pacino, we don't know, man.
Well, I think he's out there in case it does. That's what I'm saying.
Let's meet our first contestant, please. This is
or
we'll
just spin the wheel.
No reason to spin if we don't have anyone to talk to yet. Edward is in Southgate on line one. Hi, Edward. Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, sir.
Hey, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, Edward, did you hear Kevin's going to host a live television show tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be awesome.
Can I spin the wheel now?
Now just spin the wheel.
Exactly.
Oh, it's Al Pacino. What a surprise.
It is Al Pacino.
It is Al. It's good he's out there.
All right, so listen up, Edward, and for other callers on the line.
That you guys might end, you might need me.
Here we are. Al is going to read some lyrics. You need to give us title and artist. It's going to be one of the bands and one of the songs from night two of this year's Acoustic Christmas. Listen up.
I ain't going to wear the clothes that you'll like. I'm fine and dandy with the me inside. One look in the mirror, and I'm tickled pink. I don't give a hoot about what you think. Ooh-ah.
Band. Band and song. Band name, song name.
This is for
That's Weezer Pork and Beans.
Weezer Pork and Beans, what we're looking for. Thanks for playing, Eddie. Who's next, Kevin?
All right. We have Chris in Foothill Ranch. Hi there.
Hello, how you doing?
We are good. See who's going to read your lyrics?
All right.
For tickets for night number two, ladies and gentlemen, it is William Shatner.
Yeah.
Very
Bill.
Exciting.
Bill, come on
the
in.
The captain. Hi, Bill.
Kevin Bean, how are you?
We're good.
Good.
I can't believe the news today. Oh, I can't close my eyes and make it go away. How long must we sing this song? How long? Because tonight we can be as one tonight.
Chris, night two, band and song.
Smashing Pumpkins, Tonight.
No, that was U2's Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Thank you, Mr. Shatner. Get on your horse and get out of here.
Very welcome. Would you like to buy some tickets to my charity event?
I'm sorry, no.
Would you like to buy a table?
We don't have time right now.
We don't have time. Thank you very much.
I already got Kevin down for one.
Michelle in Ontario. Hi.
Hi, oh my gosh. Hi, good morning, everyone.
Hi there. All right.
Michelle, how did you do with the Weezer and the U2 while you were listening on hold?
I got both of them.
All right.
Wow.
Nailed it.
All right, let's see who your celebrity is. Good luck.
And it's Homer Simpson.
Go!
Hi, Homer.
Oh. I hope I do this well.
Okay. I think you will.
Here we go. I backed my car into a cop car the other day. Well, he just drove off. Sometimes life's okay. I ran my mouth off a bit too much. Oh, what did I say? Well, you just laughed it off. It was all okay.
What do you think there, Michelle?
Modest mouth, float on.
Nicely.
Look at you!
All right, now, you're the first person.
Are you just great with lyrics, or are you fast with Google?
No, Modest Mouse is my favorite band.
Oh, what are the chances? So lucky.
Lucky.
That is fantastic. All right, we got time for a couple more, I think. Who's up next, Kim?
Next, we have Dennis in North Hollywood.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good, Dennis. Let's spin the wheel, see what celebrity is going to be reading lyrics for you.
And you get Christopher Walken.
Ow! So proud and happy to be here.
Thank you, Chris.
Very excited to see you and to see you on the Peter Pan show in a couple weeks, too.
Captain Hook.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I play a guy with a hook.
Right.
Right.
Now get Pan.
Okay.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. Even while we sleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature.
Dennis.
Imagine Dragons, Radioactive.
Sorry, that's Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Welcome to your life.
Way to go, Dennis. How do you not know that song?
A little embarrassing for us with the guys looking at us through the glass, too, by the way. Way to go, a-hole. All right, we got time for one more contestant. Who's it going to be?
It is going to be Robert in Pasadena.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Robert, this is your last chance to go in the drawing to win your tickets for night two. Let's spin the wheel. Let's see what celebrities can do us on.
If he doesn't get it, Michelle automatically wins.
That's right. All right.
It's Party Bus Kevin.
How about that?
Party Bus
what
Kevin.
What a surprise.
Party Bus Kevin.
Hi, Party Bus Kevin. We're looking forward to seeing you on TV tonight on the Energy Afterwards.
Also looking forward to TVing on Missy.
All right. Well, let's hear some lyrics from you, sir.
I just want to know if you're gonna stay. I just gotta know. I can't have it. I can't have it in any other way. I swear she's destined for the screen, closer thing to Michelle Pfeiffer that you've ever seen.
Wow. What's that one? Robert? What do you think there, Robert?
Is that Vance Joy, Riptide?
It is.
Wow. Well, I just want to know.
And I got to say, Party Bus Kevin, you pronounced Michelle Pfeiffer's name correctly, and that shocked me.
Well, I'm a huge Michelle Pfeiffer fan.
Well, it's got that silent P there in the last name. I was worried for you there. All right, Michelle is in the drawing, as is Robert. Only one can win. Tickets to the sold-out night number two of the K-Rock Almost Feast Christmas Show. Beer Bug, who's our winner, please?
Line three, Michelle.
Line three, yay! Michelle. Michelle, congratulations.
Oh, my gosh, thank you.
You get to see your favorite band on night number two of the 25th annual K-Rock.
Oh, my gosh.
Almost Acoustic Christmas.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
There's a little bit of electricity in the air when some actual K-Rock legends walk through the door, ladies and gentlemen. A band we've been playing on this radio station since 1983. Roland Orzabal and Kurt Smith are here. It's Tears for Fears on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, boys.
Hello.
Good morning.
Great to see you. We apologize for how ridiculously early it is, especially for rock star types, but thanks so much for being here. I asked you the question, how did it happen that you're on Acoustic Christmas and you turn around and ask me the same question? So apparently none of us know how this magic came to be.
I think money exchanged between people.
Is that right?
I think that must have been the case.
Some kind of bribery?
It has to be.
All right. Which direction? I mean, did your camp bribe us or did we bribe you?
I think Bean sent me something in the mail.
Oh, okay.
It's Bean. I was supposed to be private, Kurt. Come on. We got a lot of ground we want to cover with you guys. First of all, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for doing the show. We're very excited. What do you remember, if anything, about K-Rock back in the 80s? I mean, do you remember being on the radio station and being on with Rodney or with Richard Blade or any of those guys?
I remember, lots of things. But I think the thing that stands out to me still is the Love Lines. Which sure. I did that in the 90s. Can you believe that?
And it's still on the air.
Yeah,
can you believe it?
That was always fun, slightly uncomfortable show to do.
Yeah, because some of the calls are so either bizarre or negative or whatever. It's like you don't really know what
or
to
serious.
Do.
Or serious,
yeah. And there's lots of mentions of diseases and stuff like that. And
a lot of that,
you know. I don't know, the guy, the doctor used to give me the creep.
Dr. Drew?
Dr. Drew, yeah, he's pretty creepy.
Just a little bit, standing next to him. I used to think, what am I going to catch?
Oh, you thought he had all the diseases?
Well, because he keeps talking about them.
Well, he does know a lot about them. But I don't think he has most, thank God.
Beer Mug, let's save this tape for when Dr. Drew's on Thursday, could we please? when you think back, and we're going to bring it all the way up to the present and talk about where you are today and what's new in the world of Tears for Fears, but I'm just fascinated. What are the 80s like in your memory now? Is it just a big giant blur or a lot of vivid memories of just crazy things you couldn't believe how big the band got?
For me, the one memory is of some, like, it's like a big sunny day and a tour coach. And everyone is happy.
That's it?
I don't even understand what that means.
That's it.
So to you, it's just a general good feeling.
No, it's just one day. You know, not general.
We had one good day.
One good day.
One really good day.
Really nice day in the Midwest.
I think it was Madison, Wisconsin, I want to say. But
yeah, something like the Kansas, St. Louis.
Kurt, were you surprised that the group became as popular as it did to sell, you know, millions and millions and millions of records? Nobody expects that when they start a band.
Yeah, we never really thought about it, to be honest. I think when you go in and make a record, you just go in to make the best one you can at the time. And it all came as a bit of a shock to us. But, you know, then it did kind of become a blur when we were touring here, especially after Songs from the Big Chair, when it became huge in America. I mean, obviously for K-Rock, they go back to The Hurting. But The Hurting wasn't huge in America. It wasn't until Songs from the Big Chair that everything really took off and became a bit of a blur.
And then it was a blur because you were in every city and all.
Well, yeah, you know, this is a rarity for us to get up this early to a morning show. But back then when we were on tour, we would do it every day, you know, in every city we were in. So you really didn't have time to sit back and appreciate it, I don't think.
And you were on MTV all the time, too.
Yes.
Right.
That's when MTV played actual music videos. Yeah.
Well, that was right, when exactly. It was a music television.
But we didn't have to get up for that. Because it was just on film.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Mm-hmm. What do you remember? You guys were very young when you started playing together. You were how old?
14.
14, yeah.
14 years old, okay. Mm-hmm. So by the time you make your first record, what was it like for you in England at the time when that hit big? Was it? I mean, you were still teenagers, right?
No, I turned 21, celebrated my 21st birthday in Abbey Road Cafe. Which is right at the bottom of Abbey Road. And then we had our first hit about 3 months later.
It was late 21. Yeah, late 82.
And what does that do to you when you find success like that? And what's that like for your regular life with your family, with your friends? I mean, how did you adjust to it? Because some people don't, they want their music to be heard, but they don't want the accompanying fame and distractions that come with it.
Well, we lived in Bath, which is a sort of very touristy city. And everyone knew everyone. So it was like, oh, hi, yeah, saw you on Top of the Pops last night. Yeah,
yeah. Like it was no big cool. deal?
No, it's fine, no big deal. Huh. And the most immediate effect, obviously, is money. But I wasn't into fast cars. I couldn't drive, actually. And so immediately buying a house and buying studio equipment. So we bought this studio equipment to make Songs from the Big Chair.
Were you of the opinion, like, we need to strike while the iron's hot and I'm not going to have this money forever?
No, we weren't. No.
Not at all.
We were the opposite. I mean, management and record company were exactly that after we did The Hurting. They were, we needed something else now. And, of course, we took our sweet time until we were ready. So.
And that does not make them happy.
We're not known to be the most prolific of artists.
No. But you want to wait until it's right. You want to wait until you're happy with it. And that's why you're the kinds of guys who spent a lot of time in the studio, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think you also need a break. You know, you need to get back to some sense of normality, and, you know, especially when you've done like a big world tour and you had a successful album, you kind of want to go away and enjoy it.
Right. You knew when you laid down Shout that was a smash hit, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was quite incredible and quite lucky, really, because the initial idea for the song was just to be a mantra, like all we are singing is give peace a chance. And so the shout, let it all out was just going to go round and round and round until people got sick of it. But luckily, Kurt and I had to leave the studio that day to do the Mother's Talk video just up the road. And we left producers Chris Hughes and Ian Stanley, our keyboard player, to muck around with the track.
Right.
By the time we got back, they'd completely transformed it, and it was like, whoa, whoa. They'd stuck a verse on, and we thought, this can we do this? Can we really
make... That's the strangest story I've ever heard of.
You guys left.
We left.
We left, and they force-fed us a verse.
Built a whole verse.
Unbelievable.
And then we're thinking, can we really start a song with the chorus? I guess we can.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I love the stories. One of the reasons that we love having musicians on the show so much is, you know, you've created something that's going to last forever, that's a part of all of our lives, and I'm always just so fascinated with the magic in the moment. I mean, there really is something magical about creating music, I think. And I can't imagine what that high is like to walk out of the room that day and go, we made that. Actually, those guys made that while we were out eating.
Those guys made that while we were gone.
But that must be something you must be proud of all the time. Every time you come across one of your songs on the radio, I imagine you still get that charge, I bet.
That's a hard one to answer. I mean, to be honest, we've heard some of the songs so much that, when it comes on the radio, we tend to turn it down.
Yeah.
I really don't need to hear that again.
We like the cover versions.
Yeah, the cover versions are actually more exciting.
There have been so many covers of that.
Yeah. Well, and even people sampling stuff and the diversity of artists that have done it, from Gary Jaws and Michael Andrews through to Kanye and Nas and different people. So it's fascinating that the breadth of artists that have used our music.
When they come to you and ask if they can use, you know, any part of the song, is it an easy decision for you guys? Does it matter on who the artist is?
Well, sometimes they don't ask you.
Yeah.
Is that right? They just do it.
Mm. Huh. Mm. Yeah. Huh. Mention no names, no names. Kanye. Kanye.
So you got a cough there? You're right, Kurt? Yeah, eat some water. You okay?
Sounds like you're saying Kanye.
No.
Roland Orzabal, ridiculous. Kurt Smith in studio with us. They are Tears for Fears. They are playing night number two of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Feast Christmas show. Is this the – we're going to take a break right now, but before we do, is this your only appearance for a while in the area? Is the Acoustic Christmas show? You're not on tour right now, right?
We did a few dates recently. No, we're not on tour. We're actually attempting to make a new record is what we're doing. So we're keeping the playing down to a minimum. But
okay. All right. This is your one chance to see the band then for the foreseeable future. And we'll continue to be giving away tickets, of course. I've got more for you at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. More with our guest Tears for Fears are here. We'll be right back after this on K-Rock. Tears for Fears in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. No, you heard that right. It's Roland Orzabal and Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears. They are here and in town playing the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. I said that wrong, didn't I, Kevin?
You did. You had
Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's right, on December 14th at the Forum. Hey, do you guys both live in Southern California now?
Well, I have lived here for 16 years now, and one of Roland's many houses he keeps.
Oh, I see. Mr. Fancy.
Yeah.
Do you miss England?
Me?
Either.
I was there the other day.
Roland goes back all the time, obviously. Yeah. His family is still there. And he lives there most of the time. Do I miss England? No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, I've been in the States because I lived in New York 10 years before that. So I've been here a long time. My kids are Southern California and they were born in L.A. So I'm used to it here.
So you're raising some Americans.
I am raising two Americans, and I actually technically am also an American.
There you go. We talked in the last segment about the hurting and the early years of Tears for Fears, and then we got into Songs from the Big Chair, which, by the way, I think this would be a good time to mention that you've got something new out for Tears for Fears fans. Just released is this new deluxe edition of Songs for the Big Chair. Now, I'm fascinated with how you're able to put – I mean, how much stuff is in this super deluxe edition? 4 CDs, 2 DVDs? How is there that much material from one album?
There are countless mixes. I think the most interesting thing is this thing called a 5-1 remix, which means you play it on a Blu-ray player through your theatre system, because everyone's got a theatre system.
Sure, right.
Yeah? And then you can the trumpet pops up, you know, just behind you, and you go, whoa! Didn't
that's
realize.
Bizarre.
Where's the trumpet coming from? Yeah, so that's exciting, and there's lots of goodies in there. It's generally, I mean, I know the record companies can do this whether we like it or not, but I have touched the package. I haven't opened it yet because there's still a gold sticker over Kurt's face, which I don't want to remove. And it does actually, it is a thing of beauty. Yes.
Wow.
He has touched the package. That's all I want to say.
That did it's not go
very neat little package.
So after Songs for the Big Chair put you into the stratosphere with all those number one songs, then came The Seeds of Love.
Yes.
And I remember at the time when that record came out, and of course that was a huge record here on K-Rock as well, I thought, here's a band that is so popular now that they can do anything they want, and they're going to put every idea they've ever had on one song in that Sowing the Seeds of Love. I mean, it is, to me, it's like a champagne supernova became, you know, 20 years later. It's one of those songs that it just seems like there could be 10 songs out of that one, and you put it all together. Do you remember much about how that thing was constructed?
Yes, it was quite simple. Put in a beat on a Lynn drum, which was very similar to I Am the Walrus by the Beatles.
Oh, that I Am the Walrus.
That I Am the Walrus.
Not the famous cover version.
And, you know, 84 beats per minute and sort of got the whirly sound from I Am the Walrus and turned it into a minor version. So it wasn't very difficult, to be honest with you.
But there's so many backing backing singers, and there's so many different parts, different melodies, and layering, and it's complex.
There were a lot of different parts to that song, and I don't know why. It just kept going off on a tangent. In fact, some of them were cut down, so we reduced the amount of weirdness. But yeah, it was a fun song to make.
Is it you come up with ideas, and then you try it, and you go, maybe not, maybe, and then it...
It's more organic than that. I mean, I think when you're sitting in a studio playing, it just kind of happens, you know. And as Roland said, there was actually another part to that we edited out. So even what's on there is not as much as what was on there originally. But it just kept growing and growing, and we went with it. So
it was like nothing else on the radio when it came out. And even when I come across it now, it still stands out as just being such a unique piece of music.
I think so.
Yeah, we've always said that we think, as far as production goes, that's probably the best work we've ever done, to be honest.
You played that live the other night on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, too, and you did that one. And what else? I think you did Everybody Wants to Rule the World as well. You guys sound the same as you did 30 years ago, which is we don't see that very often. That's very impressive.
It's because we're using the same computer tracks.
You're lip-syncing the whole thing?
Miming to the same vocal track. Yeah.
Do you guys like playing live?
Love it.
Live playing.
That's
is
what
fantastic.
It's all about nowadays for us, is playing live, because that's where it all makes sense.
It's sort of where the industry has gone too. You can't really make money putting out albums. You have to tour.
It is. Yeah. I mean, basically, it is the only place left where you can make money. But,
right.
You know, and making records is a means to an end now, which is you make a record so that you can go out and tour with it.
It's changed dramatically.
Yeah, it's very different. But the fact that we love playing live, it's okay for us. So.
Yeah. You made a reference a few moments ago to the fact that you guys are working on new music right now. How's that going? Where are you in the process?
We're in the process where we have a lot of songs. We've never been in this position before where we have more songs than we need for a record. Because in the past, we used to scramble around for some. But this time, no, we've got too many. We're looking for someone who's going to sort of put it all together, really. And
you've tossed around double album,
triple.
Yeah. How many songs do you have?
Assorted.
We actually have in the region of 37 songs.
37.
Wow. Yeah. So you need
in the region of 37 songs.
I say 37, 38,
okay.
Because 38 is called Dog Ate My Time Machine, so I don't think that's really going to get on the record.
Okay. I want to hear Dog Ate My Time Machine more than anything right now.
I'll send you a free copy. Yeah.
You need somebody impartial to come in and say, that's terrible, that's out.
That's what we think we may have found.
What was it called?
Smash or what? Trash. We need
a smash or trash
session. Just to get it down to 10 songs, yeah.
All right, let me ask you one more geeky record-making question, because I've always wanted to know the answer to this, and since you guys are here, I can ask. How did your song end up being sampled on Do They Know It's Christmas? What was the story with that?
Well, we didn't know, and we weren't asked.
That seems to be a theme.
It is a theme.
And we didn't even realize.
I think a lot of people were like, hey, who do you want to rip off? Let's rip off Tears for Fears. They're clueless.
It was Midge actually confessed to Chris Hughes, our producer at the time, that he'd done that. And then we'd have to go back and listen to it.
It is the drum machine from The Hurting. And
the music that we hear at the beginning of the original Do They Know It's Christmas.
Of the original. Yes. And they took it off for the second one. just to rub it in our faces.
So that was the best-selling song of all time, or close to it at the time, and it was all for charity. So did you guys get nothing for that?
Got nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. You're making a lot of good decisions.
Yeah. Sounds like decisions are being made for them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating. That's something else. All right, what can we expect on night number two, by the way? How long do you guys get? Do we know yet?
We don't know.
We haven't been told yet. Maybe you could find out for us.
And all right, we'll ask around.
We'll be playing all the big songs.
People don't
have no fear.
People don't tell us much either.
No. So. But what a night, by the way, with Interpol there, Modest Mouse, Imagine Dragons, Alt-J, Smashing Pumpkins, Vance Joy, Weezer, and a little band called U2. That's the lineup for night number two. We're so excited that you guys are in town. We're so excited you guys are playing, and it's great of you to come in. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
It's been our pleasure.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Comedian actress Chelsea Peretti joins us in studio coming up after the top of the hour. I'm excited about that. Ralph, I'm excited about you being here for the Showbiz Beat right now.
Thanks.
But all I kept thinking is 13 hours from now, we're going to be sitting in front of our TV watching FX.
Watching Afterward Anarchy?
Afterward Anarchy, as Kevin calls it. Yes, that is going to be tonight on FX after Sons of Anarchy. Our own Kevin Ryder is going to be hosting a nationwide live television program with lots of moving parts. So set your DVRs. You don't want to miss it.
Welcome to Afterward Anarchy.
Here's Ralph. Don't call it that, Kevin.
Don't call it what?
Afterward Anarchy.
Afterward Anarchy.
Welcome to Dreamin' and Teo.
I've decided I'm just going to go with Drea.
Are you?
No. What are the chances I'm going to get that last name right? Seriously.
Yeah. And they'll put her name up on the screen. People know 0%? Who she is.
Smitty Jits.
I love Smitty.
Maya de Dromeo. And Rio Fosse via satellite.
I did have a conference call where I told them that I do have problems with names.
And words. Did you mention words?
Well, your words, problems with words. I think they were aware of the words, but the names.
Sentences, too.
Hoping to.
Yeah, sentences. Thoughts. Yeah. Turning thoughts into sentences and words and
not,
names.
Not my strength.
Just pull up any moment with Kevin. Just any moment with Kevin.
I don't know
Kevin.
If we need to.
I just want to check in to see if maybe it's me. Maybe my perception of the world is off. But I'm surprised that you're hosting a live television program that involves guests and questions and things that you have to talk to people about.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Right now we are talking to future gun killers.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Okay. And the prosecution should rest.
I just wanted to check in to make sure I wasn't losing my mind.
I'm excited for you, Kevin.
I think it's going to go good.
I think so, too. I think it's for all of us.
I think it's going to go well.
Yeah, that too.
I think it's going to go good. Man speaks for a living. It's almost Christmas. Can you feel it? It's right in the air. It's in the air. It's right around the corner. It's sweater time already. That means Christmas music. And who's more beloved? Who's more adored than America's sweetheart, Kristen Bell? She has teamed up with an a cappella group called Straight No Chaser for a fun new little Christmas ditty. So allow me to be the first to give you some Christmas music. Yeah, right. It was in the cleaners the other day, the dry cleaners, and blasting Christmas music. I'm like, it's not.
That's not a fight we're ever going to win.
Here is the song. It's about sort of a take on modern day society. You know, the kids with all their. There are smartphones and their lava lamps and their love beads and their puka shells.
I'm not sure.
You know how those kids are today?
Yeah.
With their beanbag chairs and their hatchback cars.
I think you're going back a little too far.
It's called Text Me Merry Christmas.
A Facebook message isn't quite as sweet. I need more from you than just a tweet.
A snap on Snapchat doesn't last. And voicemail, that's from Christmas past. Text me Merry Christmas. Send a selfie too.
Send a selfie
if you do, I'll go beneath the mistletoe and pretend my screen is you.
Yeah. Right now, Bobby McFerrin.
Come sit on Santa's lap.
What? Right now, Bobby McFerrin's like, hey, what about me? Can I get some love? Did Bobby McFerrin ever put out a Christmas album, Bean?
No.
Oh, somebody get on the phone.
Yeah.
Somebody get his agent on the phone. He's ready. Today's celebrity birthdays, Damon Wayans Jr. Funny man. You love him in New Girl. Let's Be Cops. 32 years old today. Owen Wilson's 39. Chloe 70. 40 years old. Did you watch that Big Love, that show on HBO that she did?
Watched it, but it wasn't regular.
I liked it. It was well done. Mike Epps, very talented actress, 44. Kirk Hammett, Metallica guitarist, is 52. Kevin Nealon, our good friend, is 61. And actor Dennis Haskins, you probably know him best as Mr. Belding, the principal of Bayside High from Saved by the Bell. Although recently he was in A Million Ways to Die in the West, Seth MacFarlane's Western movie. And he got killed at the fair, because people die at the fair.
Hey, sir. Spoiler alert.
People die at the fair. Everyone knows that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There it is. Best theme song on TV, Sunday nights on the Fox. It's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Is it Fox? It is Fox, right? 8:30 on Fox TV. I said that without looking at the paperwork, and I thought, what if I'm wrong? How embarrassing to give the wrong network in front of our guests. Ladies and gentlemen, she is one of the stars of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and a hilarious stand-up comedian, Chelsea Pretty.
Yeah. Yay!
You've done a lot of radio. Was that the worst introduction you've ever gotten, Chelsea?
Sadly, no. No, wow. that was up there. I like that you don't know the network. It takes the pressure off for me to not know anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, Bean did ask off the air how many episodes are left, and you gave him a very astute, you have no idea.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Don't tell
Fox.
Not
that's not your area. That's not what they pay you to keep track of.
Look, I know we're midway through.
All right.
Yeah, okay. That's something.
I am, I don't know if you, the guys make fun of me all the time, Chelsea, because I have this thing where I get pre-sad about things. And I am pre-sad that all of my fall shows are getting ready to just hit end of the road. They're going to dry up and they're going to be gone. And I'm going to go to my TV one Sunday night soon and there will not be a new Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I'm already ahead of time feeling kind of blue about that.
Yeah. Are you part Jewish?
Would you think so, right?
But he really, that pre-sad thing is something we've talked about. It's true.
Yeah.
In other words, rather than look forward to the, you know, two or three episodes, whatever is left, and just be happy about that, I'm already looking past that to the point where I've seen those already and they're in my rearview mirror. And it's.
I'm already thinking about, like, when the show's over and I have no other projects and I'm just.
That's way further.
Yeah. So I'm right there with you. We're kindred spirits.
Exactly. You understand my pain.
Yes.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, including your new special available on Netflix called Chelsea, the very modestly titled Chelsea Peretti, One of the Greats.
Yes.
But let's talk Nine-Nine first.
Okay.
Have you done a lot of, was this unusual for you to be a member of this ensemble cast of a show? Have you done more guest appearances or have you been a regular on a series before?
You know, I hadn't done a ton of network TV before landing the role of Gina Linetti. I did an episode of Louie, the pilot episode, and a bunch of Kroll shows and stuff like that. But yeah, this was a big opportunity for me.
And you used to write for a lot of shows too, right?
I did, yeah. I wrote for Sarah Silverman. That's what I came out here to write for from New York. And then wrote for Parks and Rec for two seasons.
That's a dream, right? Parks and Rec. That's one of the very funniest shows on TV, for reals.
That's a good poll quote for one of the very funniest shows. it was a dream job. It was definitely.
It is super out there, so it must have been fun as a writer to be able to go there.
It is, because every writer at that show is just so smart. It felt like being in grad school, you know, and then we would have debates about whether which cakes are best, but all out full day things that result in ordering cakes to the office, but angrily.
Right.
You know? So,
because
yeah.
It matters. That stuff matters.
Mm-hmm. That's what we were upset about. So things were good. Yeah.
I mean, Parks and Rec is one of my very favorite shows, as I mentioned. And it must have been so frustrating to do the work as good as it was and to not have it be a smash hit. I mean, that you must have just been a bunch of smart people sitting around a room going, what don't we know? Why aren't people watching this show the way they should be?
Well, I don't think that was happening in the writer's room. You know, I think you really are focused on the creative side of things. That might have been happening in some other rooms, but yeah, it's frustrating. But you know, it's a very specific time in television right now. You know, there's a couple shows that are huge runaway hits, but it's not like when Cheers was on the air, and you know, when there was just a few shows and everyone was watching them.
Right.
There's so many different outlets now that it's a transitional time, I think.
Do writers pay attention to the shows that other people are writing that are becoming hugely successful? Like at Parks and Rec, would there ever be a conversation about how do so many people love Big Bang Theory? Not there's anything wrong with that, but I mean, just as a contrast to a show that was so much more popular, was that the type of thing that would ever be talked about?
Can't remember.
Good answer. Lady wow. wants to work in Hollywood wow. some more.
Can't remember.
What a
Can't
great answer. Remember. All right. Let me ask you a follow-up question to that, then. Is Rob Lowe as dreamy in person as he seems on the TV?
He really is. It's ridiculous.
It's not right.
It isn't okay. It's just like, what is your secret? And I'm sure there's some secrets, you know?
You think he knows something the rest of us don't?
Yeah. I think people in Hollywood, once you keep ascending upward and upward, you start getting, like, doors opening to you with secrets inside of them.
So if you're...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
As you get to be a bigger and bigger star, you get more knowledge.
Yeah.
So he knows stuff.
Serums. More serums.
More serums.
Why'd you leave Parks and Rec?
I didn't know this was going to be such a hard-hitting interview. No, I
left. How come?
No, I left because, you know, I've always been doing stand-up. That's how they actually watched my stand-up, and that's how they hired me for that job, that writing job. And, you know, I was doing a lot of performing, and it was coming along well. And the hours as a writer, you know, are very long. So I was having to kind of wait and then cancel shows late night when we were pulling late night hours. So it just started feeling like I couldn't do it all, and so I left because I wanted to perform more, and then now we're working together again. So
so the schedule that you have now then as an actress and not a writer on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that frees up a little more time for you to do stand-up? It's a little better schedule for you?
Yeah, a little bit. It's hard because a lot of times we'll have, you know, 5 a.m., 5:30 call time, so it's hard to go do stand-up because I get very riled up after stand-up, and so I can't just go straight to bed.
It takes you a while to kind of...
Yeah, just kind of decompress because, you know, I'm really high energy. I do a lot of cartwheels, backflips, things like that. Anything to get the crowd going.
Sure.
So it's hard to just lay your head on a pillow after that kind of spectacle.
Why are they trying to make people make funny TV at 5:30 in the morning? Is it just
know.
That the days are, I mean, you have to do so much work in such a small number of days that you just literally have to work 18-hour days to film it all?
Believe me, I puzzle over it all the time. I don't know the answer. I don't, like, because, you know, usually if you're shooting outside, you're wanting to catch as much light as possible.
Right.
But we're mm-hmm. on a stage, so I don't know. I guess it must be, I just think morning people rule the world. I think that if night people ruled the world, it would be just such a beautiful, beautiful world.
I'd like for night people to rule the world for a while.
Yeah, we've but always you're said in morning radio.
I know. We've always said about this show, the worst part about it is getting up and getting here and starting at 5:30.
Were you a night person before this?
Kind of in the middle, but I prefer to not have to get up. You know, my alarm goes off at 3:50, and then I lay there for as long as I can to the minute, and
yeah.
then I get up and go take a shower. And...
So you were a night person dreaming of doing morning radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So weird. Uh-huh. Yeah. Chelsea Peretti is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about the Netflix special when we come back in a minute. By the way, Chelsea, just so you know, we love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We have had Joe in here. We've had Andy on. We've had Terry in here a couple of times. We've talked to Melissa. She's been in here a couple of times. So we have been really like huge supporters of the show. So we're really excited to have you here.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
I don't know if you can tell or not, but we really are.
It seems like a positive vibe.
Okay,
I'll say
Brooklyn
that.
Nine-Nine
yeah.
airs Sunday nights at 8:30. I'm just going to say it. On Fox, and there may be several episodes left before it runs out for the season. Our guest is Chelsea Peretti. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Chelsea Peretti, One of the Greats, is the name of the stand-up special that just premiered this past Friday, November 14th, on Netflix. You came up with that title, right, Chelsea?
Yes, I did. That'd be funny if you're going to pan it right now. I feel like you might pan it right now.
I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was very funny. I'd never seen you do stand-up before. I only know you as an actress, so this was a big thrill for me to see you doing stand-up.
I love it.
Tell me about that. It's a big deal for, you know, a lot of things in media have changed, but it's a big deal for any comedian to have their one-hour special. You've waited a long time to do yours. Tell me what you wanted to do going in and if it all worked out for you.
I just really wanted to do something I was going to be excited about. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of stand-up kind of expectations that people, okay, now you did your first TV set, now you do your 15-minute set, now you do a half hour, now you do an hour. And I just kind of I wanted to not feel like I'm just plodding along. You know, I wanted to feel excited and innovative. And I thought about the comedians in the 80s that everyone's always kind of looking backwards and trying to do exactly what they did. And I was like, wait a minute, though. They weren't looking backwards in the same way when they started out. They were trailblazing and figuring out the medium and kind of thinking on their feet. So I just wanted to feel that way for my special.
Was it hard in the early days to fill up time?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's like when you're starting out, 5 minutes is an eternity.
It seems like forever on stage.
I was just thinking
about... look at this interview.
And then I just, But yeah, I remember my first TV set, like just going over and over and over the set and like having it be so mechanical. And by the time I did it, I was just on automatic pilot, didn't remember it at all. And then you get stronger and you can actually be in the moment. Like in my special, there's a moment where there's an audience reaction to that I drank a pre-made smoothie and I can think on my feet and respond to them in the moment, just like I would at a comedy club, you know? And it's like, that's what you're working towards. Is not feeling mechanical, I think.
That's when you feel like an actual professional who should be up on that stage instead of someone who's faking the world out, right?
Exactly. Like, you're not just going, okay, here's A to B to C to D. You know, you're actually in the moment.
Right. Bean and I, when we first started doing this job, this morning show, I remember us high-fiving each other because we were able to talk for 2 minutes. Like, that to us, it was like, wow, we did it. Congratulations.
And that's the beginning of an empire.
And now we can't even get the network right on a TV show in 2 minutes.
That means you've arrived.
Did you have a difficult, long transition to become good as a stand-up? Or
I talk a lot about confidence in my special and lack thereof and fake confidence, such as the title One of the Greats. But, you know, a lot of my peers have put out 6 specials in the time that I've put out one. I just never felt ready until now. And I'm really happy with what I've put out. So I feel like, for me, I'm happy with the time frame that I've done.
Was there pressure from anybody else in the industry or other comedians?
No one cares. No, maybe
no one was begging her to do a special.
Yeah, next year maybe there'll be pressure, you know? But no, I feel like I did things my own way, and I feel like actually I'm happy with it. That is reflected in the special, and so...
I have a bizarre question. I don't know if there's anything to this or not, but this just occurred to me, Chelsea, and that is, you talk in the special about the internet culture, how everybody is ready with their fingers on their keyboards to kill anything that anyone tries to say or do on the internet and just poop all over it, right?
Yes.
Is there any connection to that to stand-up comedy crowds in real life? Are people less patient now or more daggers out when they go see a comedy show to try to shoot you down, or do people really kind of give you the benefit of the doubt when you step up on stage?
Well, I think the internet really emboldens people because, you know, face to face, first of all, if you're the comedian, you have a microphone, they don't. You're already at an advantage.
Right.
And on top of it, you're generally a lot smarter and funnier. So if someone starts it up with you, you can usually destroy them. And if not, there's always, you know, someone at the club who can remove them if they happen to be hilarious, you know, and winning
the best
fight.
Of me. Toss him.
Yeah, that was witty. Get him out of here. But yeah, so I mean, I think the internet is a lot more people who are unhappy with their own lives and they're lashing out at you. And you have to kind of constantly remind yourself of that. They don't know me. I'm not a person to them. They're just lashing out because they're a stay-at-home dad, you know?
Right.
Or whatever it is.
That doesn't make them happy. Whatever their lot in life is, they're not happy.
Yeah, a lot of times it will be like a dad with a baby in his profile photo, and then he'll be saying the most horrible things to me. I'm like, what about when your baby grows up? Will you let someone talk like that to them?
Chelsea Peretti is here. Again, we're talking about our new special called One of the Greats. It's available on Netflix, and it's a beautiful thing because it's not like we come in here and go, well, it was on Showtime. Sorry you missed it. It's at Netflix all the time. Whenever, if you want to watch it right now, you can go to Netflix and watch it. That's got to be one of the draws of making a deal with a company like that, right?
Absolutely. It's unprecedented. You can promote it, and people can instantly watch it, and it's round the clock.
Is that why you chose that?
Yeah, I was just like, you know, it fits so perfectly with my lifestyle. And for self-interested reasons, it's like, wow, I use Netflix and now I can be on there and I can tweet about it. Someone can watch it. I podcast. They can watch it. Like, it's just it's perfect for the social media world.
If I were looking at your Netflix queue right now, what's the show or movie you've watched the most times on Netflix?
I don't like watching things that many times. I feel like that's a very masculine thing. I feel like
really?
guys like watching like the same movie over and over.
Ask Kevin how many times he's seen Fast and Furious.
How many times?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot.
as an example.
This isn't about me.
So you're more of a, hey, I've seen that, now I'm going to watch something else.
Yeah, exactly. My boyfriend has a bunch of horror movies in my queue messing up my whole, the recently viewed is all messed up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like documentaries. I think that's always fun to watch on Netflix.
Boring. All right, listen.
Sorry, smart person.
Do you mind, before the smart person goes, do you mind if I play a clip? Am I giving away your special here if I play 35 seconds from the show just to give people an idea of what it's all about?
I don't know what 35 seconds you have, so it's hard to
but
say.
But I have your permission.
I'm going to answer for her. Yes, go ahead.
Sure, sure. My black stepmother, which is what we used to call her. She used to do my hair when I was a little girl, and she would always call me tender-headed. She'd be like, Chelsea, stop moving. You are so tender-headed. I'd be like, well, I'm really just more of a white person. We kind of have a two-barrette maximum on what we're up to with barrettes. Please stop sending me to school looking like Cat Williams. I'd like to do an impression of my dad. But I don't have a newspaper in 5 hours to spare.
There you go. Chelsea Peretti from her new special called One of the Greats, available on Netflix. And don't miss Brooklyn Nine-Nine as long as it runs before the end of the year. Sunday nights at 8:30 on Fox. So nice of you to come in. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you.
All I know is over on the Sons of Anarchy Facebook fan page, they are predicting tonight's show will be a moment of party. That's actually on the Facebook page regarding the after show with Kevin Ryder hosting.
Yeah. Did you see Kurt Sutter, creator of Sons of Anarchy, Kevin's close personal friend, apparently? Did you see him tweeting out his love and support for the monkey today?
Mm.
Talking about how back the F off, give this guy some love, he's a friend.
I didn't see that, oddly enough.
I don't know what he's hearing, but he's defending you hardcore, Kevin. Don't let him down.
Don't let him down.
America down.
Do not screw up and let him down. Let everyone down with your failure.
I will tell
you. Do not let that happen.
I'll tell you in 15 seconds why I love this man. Because we run a charity, Friends and Helpers. Mm-hmm. I asked him for an autograph. He autographed a DVD. Then he went on his own back to the office, found a script from a previous season, autographed it, and sent it over. And I was like, that is
none of us are disputing he's a great man.
When did we say he wasn't great?
I'm just saying. That's why I love him here.
Right.
But why are you going to ruin his show then? Love him so much, why are you going to ruin Anarchy Afterwards, Always Anarchy? Anarchy Afterwards, After Anarchy, Afterkey, Anarchy.
You should show him the kindness of being blunt and saying, Kurt, it's an incredible – never mind. We'll talk about this next hour. We got something else we got to do here. But yeah. Kevin is on the TV tonight on FX after Sons of Anarchy on live nationwide TV without a net.
From underachievers to overachievers. That's what we're going to talk about now. Geniuses. Geniuses.
Is it time to meet the Smiths?
It is. These two were interviewed by the New York Mother Lovin' Times.
All right, which two are we talking about for folks who are not aware?
Jaden and Willow Smith, son and daughter of Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yay!
Now, you guys, we've read their tweets and we know this interview.
Pretentious, airheaded douchebags.
But do the parents, Will and Jada, do they not have any interaction with them?
No, here's the thing. When you yourself have a way overinflated opinion of yourself, then you have children. And the natural inclination, even for the lowest of the low, is to think that your children are just the end-all and be-all.
Yeah.
So if you start off in an incredible level of egotism, and then you have your children, you believe those children supersede even your own level of specialness. So they are infinitely special.
But then
there's nothing that they can do that is wrong. So they don't need to be schooled. They don't need to go to school. They don't need to work. They don't need to do anything. You just let them be because every word out of their mouth is a precious gem.
That's what life is like up until they're four, and then you start telling them, stop it.
Well, not these kids. These kids are free-range kids, and they're allowed just to go about, be rich, do whatever they want, and be mystical and wonderful. And then someone who's real, who lives in a world that exists, sits down and talks to them, and they sound like assholes because the stuff that comes out of their mouth is so nonsensical. That's the magic of this interview.
All right, what are Jaden and Willow talking about here?
Well, they've both got an album out right now. I guess that's why they're interviewing them in the culture section of the New York Times. And so the interviewer says, what have you been reading? And Willow, the girl, says, quantum physics, Osho. And Osho is this guy who's written these books that this sort of weird cult is based on with this prana energy, and they build these resin pyramids and stuff. It's just a bunch of hokum that makes no sense. So that's what she's reading. Jaden is reading The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life and Ancient Texts, Things That Can't Be Predated.
And you know in real life what he's actually reading is what every other 16-year-old is reading, which is Walking Dead comic books.
Right, of course. But he can't say that. He's got to be reading ancient texts. the curse of the cat people. He's reading the hieroglyphics on the wall of a pyramid somewhere.
I like it when kids like this like to put themselves above everybody else and go, look, nobody understands life except for us.
Trust me, that's exactly where these kids are coming from. They are the smartest, most spiritually evolved human beings on the planet, and you're just a dunce because you went to school. That's the primary thing. If you went to school, you're an idiot. And all I can think is they could use a little bit more school, a little less free-range BS, letting them wander around PCH. I'm curious about your experience of time, says the reporter. Do you feel like your life is moving really quickly? Willow says, time for me, I can make it go slow or fast, however I please. And that's how I know it doesn't exist. Wrong! First of all, you're not changing time. You're not speeding it up or slowing it down. And it does exist. Time exists.
That's only 100% wrong.
Willow Smith, Stephen Hawking. Let me see who I'm going to listen to for a minute. Jaden says, regarding time, on the level of being here on Earth, if you are aware in the moment, 1 second can last a year. And if you are unaware, your whole childhood, your whole life can pass by in 6 seconds. Once again, no. You're twisting.
I don't even know what that means.
You're twisting sort of philosophical stuff and quantum physics, and they're just warping it into whatever comes out of their heads because they think they're smart. And then Willow chimes in with, because living. So
well,
she does have a
living,
point there.
Ralph. Wait, what?
Because living. That.
That's all she said?
Yes.
Because living.
What are some of the themes that recur in your work, says this dumb reporter. Jaden says, the PCH being one of them. Pacific Coast Highway. The PCH okay. being one of them. The melancholiness of the ocean. The melancholiness of everything else.
What?
First of all, if you'd spend a little more time in school, you would know that there's no melancholiness of anything. There's melancholy. There's the melancholy of the ocean. There's already a word. You don't need to put ness on it. Willow says, and the feeling of being like this is a fragment of a holographic reality that a higher consciousness made. Stop.
What the hell? But, Ralph, if you're their parent, don't you then read this and go, hey, kids, you're...
Kids, you sound like idiots.
Yes.
Here's what they're about their work. Honestly, Jaden says, we're just trying to make music that we think is cool. We don't think a lot of music out there is that cool, so we make our own music. We don't have any song that we like to listen to on the PCH by any other artist, you know? So there's no other cool music.
Except what they're making.
Except what they're making. But wait, it gets better. Willow says, that's what I do with novels. There's no novels that I like to read, so I write my own novels, and then I read them again, and it's the best thing. There's no novels that she needs to read. She's read every novel worth reading, so she's got to write her own, and then she reads those that she just wrote. Willow's been writing her own novel since she was 6, says Jaden. Shut up! 6-year-old's not writing a novel.
I like to have each other's back, though.
Oh boy, she's a great author. Ever. All right, let me read you their take on school, okay?
All right. Okay.
Here's the deal. School is not authentic because it ends. It's not true. It's not real. Our learning will never end. The school that we go to every single morning, we will continue to go to. They don't go to school, by the way.
Is that legal?
Sure. You can homeschool kids.
Homeschool, yeah.
Homeschool.
Yeah.
That's Jaden. Willow says, forever, till the day we're in our bed. That's how long they're going to learn. Jaden says, kids who go to normal school are so teenagery, so angsty. So he's already better because they go to school and he doesn't.
Right, but what about because living?
Willow adds to that gem of wisdom, they never want to do anything. They're so tired. Jaden says, you never learn anything in school. Think about how many car accidents happen every day. Driver's Ed, what's up? I still haven't been to driver's ed because if everybody I know has been in an accident, I can't see how driver's ed is really helping them out.
That's a pretty good point.
Willow says, I went to school for 1 year. It was the best experience, but the worst experience. The best experience because I was like, oh, now I know why kids are so depressed. But it was the worst experience because I was depressed. Well, now I'm depressed having read this interview.
Wow. Kids. That is something else, you guys.
If these were my kids, I would never stop telling them to shut the F up.
Where are they going to be as adults?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's the final part of the interview where they talk about where they're going to be. Jaden, I have the goal to be just the most craziest person of all time. Yep. Once again, a little school would have come in handy for that, for the construction of that sentence, Jaden.
Good goal, though.
And when I say craziest, I mean, like, I want to do Olympic-level things. I want to be the most durable person on the planet. Willow says, I think by the time we're 30 or 20, once again, school would have helped you put those numbers in order, we're going to be climbing as many mountains as we possibly can climb.
That's a thing that is real.
They said those words.
Till all the money's gone.
Published in the paper.
And then you're going to be working at the Grove, standing outside Abercrombie and Fitch.
Can't wait for that.
Want to buy a T-shirt?
That's awesome. Where is it? New York Times?
New York Times.
Oh. Thank you, Nick. It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:56.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. You know, I know you guys don't watch, but I watch a show called The Voice over on NBC.
I'm familiar with it.
You're familiar with it, but you don't watch it. I watch it. I'm a viewer. I love this show.
It's the best of all of them, by far.
By far. Best of all the reality competition television programs. And I've been watching this year, especially because Gwen Stefani was added to the mix when it came to the judges, and Pharrell is new there, and they also have Country Joe.
Blake Shelton.
Country Joe McCoy.
Country Joe McCoy, right. Yeah. Country Joe McCoy, right.
And then the guy from Nickelback. He's
Adam,
one of the
Adam Levine,
well.
Maroon 5.
Right. So, and I love the show. And the kids are really talented this year and very entertaining. So I'm watching the show last night. And Pharrell Williams, one of the judges, one of the biggest superstar, music superstars of all time. Producer, a performer, genius. Knows about our station. Knows about K-Rock.
What are you talking about?
And I said, well, that host, that smarmy host must have told him about K-Rock.
That's Seacrest, right?
Seacrest, yeah. Seacrest.
How dare you?
Oh, wait a minute.
How
it's
dare
Carson
you?
Daly.
Carson
Daly.
I let all that attack fly for a second.
In the studio.
Hey,
good
Carson.
Good morning. What's happening, guys?
How are you?
Good. Cool. I don't know what happened there.
So, really? Andrew McAndrews.
Matt McAndrew, member of Team Adam.
Right.
You say watch the show,
Ralph? I do. I don't pay close attention, but I watch the show. It's in the background. So Andy McAndrews is there Matt singing McAndrew. His little heart out, singing that Hosier song, which we love.
Right.
Church. Going to church.
Take
on,
me to
get
church.
Get me to church on time. Get me to the
How
church
do you
on
work
time.
At K-Rock is the million-dollar question.
He's singing, get me to the church on time, and he does a hell of a job with it. The kid knocks it out of the park, and then this is what Pharrell has to say.
Take me to church, I worship like it's all shining light. I'd sell you my sins so you can shop me at night. Offer me that.
That's just the whole song. We don't need that.
I'm hoping it'll end at some point soon.
And then Pharrell says what?
And then Pharrell says, Pharrell.
Thank you.
I can hear it.
And I got to tell you right now, if I was K-Rock, I'd be calling this show right now.
We need it up. Well, shout out.
How about that?
Listen, man, I can't wait to hear the album that you go and make after the show. I can't wait. Thank you.
So Pharrell,
if he was K-Rock,
he would call him right now.
He would call. I don't.
Did
know
you
what
tell
that
him
means.
He used to work here?
No, it's Pharrell. He knows about the world famous K-Rock. No, he's a fan. He listens to.
Take it easy.
He listens to Big Boy, and then he.
But he gets past the morning show. Then he's all about K-Rock.
The guy. He doesn't even listen to me. But no, I think he liked the guy in the rock thing, and he made a rock reference, and he made the correct quintessential rock reference.
He knew K-Rock. That Hosier is a guy we play here, so yeah. I guess that's why.
That's
he,
very cool.
That
is it.
But
yeah,
to hear
cool.
that on the show last night, I was shocked. I was like, "That's."
By the
cool.
way, I've dipped into the. I'm not a regular viewer like Ralph is. Obviously, he's shown his knowledge of the show. Here today.
Barely.
I do dip in from time to time, and Pharrell is the most impressive judge to me in that he can invent arrangements on the spot and change songs into something completely different. It's just unbelievable the arrangements that he comes up with.
Well, it's what he does in real life. I mean, he's a coach in real life. He's in the studio all day. They had a piece last night where he was working with the artist, and he just said, you know what, can we just try something? And he turns to the drums. Like, can you just, if Al Green were singing this song, it would be like a four beat, the hi-hat and the tom, do the double click, he's doing that whole
right.
jargon. And then it just, like, becomes this R&B Al Green version, and then she sings on it, and he's like, do that. And it was like magic. It's like, oh, my God,
yeah,
he's
I think Pharrell's strength is that he has sort of an encyclopedic knowledge of different genres of music and different performers, and everything, and he can pull and draw on
How about
at
this?
Will.
How about this tidbit? You got Adam Levine from Maroon 5, frontman from Los Angeles.
Right.
You have Gwen Stefani, OC.
Right.
Those two had never met until they walked into a meeting for The Voice this year, into the trailers. They had never met each other, which
That's
is
crazy.
Insane to me.
That is a surprise.
For Southern California.
Yeah, you'd think, right?
And Pharrell, you know, co-wrote Hollaback Girl for, you know, him and Chad from Neptune. So they and so Pharrell and Gwen go way back.
Right.
Gwen talks about how she's getting so much more out of this show as a judge than she ever expected to. What does she mean by that?
I think she's talking about money. I think she makes a ton of money.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
She makes, millions of dollars, which she never really expected. No, she's... she's been such a great addition, as we know here. Everybody loves her, and she cries a lot. She's very emotional.
Carson, we have a question for you. We need your help on very serious thing. Do you mind, Ralph, if we change topics to the other thing just real fast?
No, feel free.
Your boy, Kevin, is hosting a live nationwide television show tonight. All right, let us finish, Carson. Let us finish.
Oh, no.
After Sons of Anarchy is a program called Anarchy Afterward that Kevin is going to be hosting with a bunch of guests, talking to people on the phone, reading tweets, got a satellite guest. He's doing a lot of ins and outs.
You're doing the April 1st version of that show only? Right?
A lot of very complicated live TV is going to be happening today. Okay. We consider you to be the best guy on television at moving from point A to point B.
No, we consider that.
Yeah. What kind of advice can you give to Kevin, who's doing it for the first time ever tonight?
Run for the hills. Don't do this. What a big mistake.
Too late. We told him. We said, why did you even accept? This is not your skill
set. That is not an easy job, especially that. Listen.
It's not easy, and you're good at it.
But for SOA, with that group, you have to know that world. That's the thing for you. And
all right, but I know that.
He's a big fan.
What I would do, here's what I would do, Kevin. I know the show. I'm not good at the hosting part.
This is what you need to do, and you'll be fine. You need to get off the air today, go to Marina Del Rey to Bartels. You need to rent a Harley.
Okay.
And then you need to go kill somebody.
Just to live the experience.
Just to
make it authentic.
And you'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm there as a broadcaster.
Wow. All right. That's great advice, Carson.
Yeah,
that's
what I would do.
So kill somebody.
I love that show. Are you really doing that?
I am, yeah.
Isn't it over? How many more episodes are left?
Three episodes.
What happened to the other guy?
Including tonight. Bad things.
He didn't work out.
Yeah. Some of that stuff's not his fault. I watch a lot. I watch that show all the time, and those actors, they're like theatrical actors, and they get in there, and the guy's live, like, hey, that was a rough scene, man. He took the guy's eye out, and then who was it, Mark Boone, or that was rough. I felt bad for the host.
You're
going to feel bad for the host again tonight.
Good luck. I'm going to love it, because Kevin has given me crap for years about The Voice, and don't do it, the show sucks, you're going to be like this and that.
But
have
I always given you credit for being the best live TV personality.
I'll give you that.
New Year's. All right, you're back on NBC tonight, Carson. You're eliminating two contestants, right? Going from 12 to 10 tonight.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming. Great to see you, sir.
Give Country Joe McCoy my best. He's my favorite judge.
Blake, I'll do that, Ralph.
After that last conversation, Kevin walked out of the studio, got in his car, and drove away, Ralph.
I know. To Vegas, too.
Unfortunately, I forgot I was hosting Anarchy Afterward.
I forgot I'm an after Anarcher Ford.
Hey, real quick, before we get into the final showbiz beat of the day, quick reminder, we haven't mentioned it yet today, but the website is up and running at kevinabean.com. If you would like to be Miss Double December 2015, and why wouldn't you be? You'll win tickets to both nights of this year's Acoustic Christmas and to singles parties next year and to the K-Rock Weenie Roast and the Breakfast With and anything else that we do that's fun. You get to be part of the Kevin and Bean family for all of the calendar year 2015. We're looking for 21 and over ladies who want to be Miss Double D. Send in a couple of photos, fill out the entry form on the website, and the close of the show on Friday is the deadline. And then next week, Ralph, we meet our top 10.
I know. We start bringing the girls and we interview them and we check out their personalities because that's the important part.
Obviously. Absolutely. December 5th at the Slide Bar in downtown Fullerton. Once again, we broadcast live. The whole show will be down there. We will crown Miss Double December 2015. So please go to the website and check it out. Or if you know somebody who you think would be a good Miss Double D, be sure to tip her off to the contest as well.
Yeah.
All right, time for our last look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of Sons of Anarchy, looks like Ron Perlman, star of that show, will be the guest star on will likely be the highly rated post-Super Bowl episode of NBC's The Blacklist.
Oh,
yeah.
He'd be a great villain.
He's going to be a villain. He's going to be a ruthless thief who faces off with James Spader's character of Raymond Reddington on the show. So I'm looking forward to that. More TV news. Sorry, Bean.
Uh-oh.
Betty White is sad today.
Oh, yeah.
They have canceled Hot in Cleveland. The series was on for 6 seasons. Each and every episode, Betty White would receive a Cleveland steamer from one of the guest stars who would come by, and ran out of people willing to deliver. So
I know that you automatically discounted that show because it was on TV Land and it was starring Betty White.
Yes.
It was pretty good. What, I don't know if you ever saw
Lisa's
it or not.
On vacation,
Val.
You need to fill the void of someone who watches
no.
bad television and defends it.
It was surprisingly funny. I'm not kidding about that.
Well,
it
might have been surprisingly funny, because if I think it's not going to be funny at all and there's a laugh in it, I would be surprised. So.
It was pretty decent, and Betty White is a treasure, and it was a joy to watch her.
All right. Well, six seasons later, it's gone. So now Betty White can just lie down and take the big nap.
You know, the thing about Betty is every time she has a series end, we think that's it for her, and she always comes back with another one.
That's true. Maybe she'll be on the next season of So You Think You Can Dance. Fox has picked that up. The 12th upcoming season promises a brand new angle. It's going to be stage dancers against street dancers. Boom, it is on.
Oh, yeah. Who does Dave root for in that scenario?
Street dancers. Dave's a street dancer from way back.
Because he's from as seen in Step Up 3.
Step Up, yeah, right. He's in Step Up.
Step Up, right, yeah.
CW's picked up another season of America's Next Top Model. This is the 22nd edition of that show.
Wow.
Tyra Banks still hosting.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but apparently a few years ago they made the switch, and it's boy and girl models now, Ralph. Doing both now.
And they put on clothes and they walk around, right?
Yeah. Photo shoots, things like that.
That's like great television. And who would have thought that horrible things, if you put them away for a while, become very, very valuable? A copy of the worst video game ever made just sold online at auction for $37,000.
What?
The E.T., the extraterrestrial game, was produced for the Atari 2600 console back in 1982. It was such a flop, the manufacturers shipped all the unwanted cartridges to a dump in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Well, apparently, someone there did an archaeological dig at the landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico, where all these cartridges were, and they uncovered some pristine condition cartridges of this horribly produced, poorly selling video game. And because they're so rare, because so few people bought them, now they're collector's items.
So are people intrigued now to play that game, since it's kind of the holy grail?
Well, to possess it, because if you're an Atari geek or fan, it's one of the hardest games to come by.
How about that?
So it just sold at auction for $37,000. So
what was wrong with the game when it came out? I mean, I'm sure it wasn't a cheapo production if it was based on the Spielberg movie.
Dull, and it was not fun to play, and no one really enjoyed it, so they just never sold well.
How about that?
I mean, E.T., not an action-packed movie when you think about it. Big things happen as a guy gets on a bike and rides across the moon. That's it.
How do you make that exciting?
Most exciting. Oh, I get to ride on the bike again. Who wants to play that video game?
Oh, right. I got to hide in the closet with dolls again.
Oh, I get to eat Reese's peanut butter pieces. Come on. But I'm just saying, if something's crappy and you hold on to it long enough, it becomes valuable.
All right. It's good. Yeah. One day people will appreciate this show.
It's good news for my Eagle sweater. Put that in the closet. I mean, I can auction that off.
By the way, a lot of support from listeners yesterday. A lot of support about the Eagle sweater.
A lot of people like the Eagle sweater. So I'm collecting names, and I'm going to put them in a hat, and some lucky person's going to win the Eagle sweater.
Going to win the sweater.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays, my buddy Dennis Haskins. He was Mr. Belding, principal of Bayside High. On Saved by the Bell, he is 64 years old today. Actor Kevin Nealon is 61. Kirk Hammett turns 52. Actor Mike Epps is 44 years old today. Chloe Sevigny celebrates her 40th birthday. Owen Wilson's 39. And actor Damon Wayans Jr. turns 32 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Enjoyed it today. Tomorrow we'll be back with an all-new show talking college football with our friend Petros Papadakis from AM570 KLAC. He'll be here. Sean White comes by the program tomorrow. This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla. How about this? There's a new medical marijuana delivery app available in Southern California.
Oh, that's perfect.
You don't even have to go to the dispensary anymore. They bring it to your home. Are you listening to this, Beer Mug?
Yeah. It's good news for Amanda Bynes.
Great news for Amanda Bynes. And, of course, we'll have more tickets for you as well for K-Rex. Yes?
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
K-Rex Almost Christmas?
Right. Yes.
But I highlights of? Is that what you
wanted
to hear?
Yes. I did want to let that go.
highlights of tonight's performance by our own K-Rock's Kevin on Anarchy Afterward. I am just going to sit here in front of the TV just to make sure I don't miss a precious minute. I know it's not on for like 10 hours, but I'm not moving from this spot. That's all tomorrow morning right here on K-Rock.